Anything else that's in the will of God that you know of?
Church membership.
Church membership, sure. Yeah. Anything?
Witnessing.
Witnessing, sure. Uh-huh. Anything else?
Prayer.
Yeah. Prayer is, that's not one of our 10, but it is. Anything basically that it tells the Christian in a general sense to do is in the will of God. We only listed 8 or 10 of them, but there's literally, I don't know, on every page there's something, isn't there? Or on many things. And all of that's in the will of God. So if you're doing those things, then you are generally doing the will of God. But we listed 8 of them primarily in your thing, 10, I added a couple. But salvation, baptism, church membership, giving, Bible knowledge, gaining Bible knowledge, separation, soul winning, ministry, sanctification and giving of thanks, all of these plus many others are in the will of God. And so, but mostly when we talk about the will of God, people, they don't want to know the will of God. They want to know the future. Okay, that's really what they're asking. It's really not, show me the will, but they're asking, and there's nothing wrong with this in the sense. They're asking, okay, what should I do out here, right? That kind of thing. And so they're looking for some kind of, handwriting on the wall, let's say, or something supernatural to happen, thunder and lightning or whatever it might be. They're looking for that. And yet, even though it might be in a lightning bolt that he gives you a direction, but for the most part, he gives it through. Of course, if you're doing his general will, then you're going to be spiritually discerning enough to recognize these type of things and get direction from the Lord. So part of that is we've mentioned about the surrendered will of God. In other words, and to phrase all that teaching up, the surrendered will of God, are you willing to do if he does tell you? If he does say something specific, are you willing to do that? And if you will not surrender to the general will of God, why do so many people then think that they're going to surrender to the specific will of God or to a, some kind of specific calling? So you got to have a willing heart. Now, I'm not telling you you're doing everything perfect, even though I hope that you're striving for that completeness. But something is that the Lord wants you to do something according to the Word of God. Do you have a surrendered heart for that? Or are you fighting it all the time? What is that? That's something you'll have to decide. And so you can do that, but you have a surrendered attitude towards things. Then if the Lord wants to direct you more like a, being led by the Spirit, what does it say? If you're led by the Spirit, you're like the wind, right? You're going here, you're being led of the Spirit. And so God leads through his Spirit. We mentioned the special will of God. So that would be the difference of, okay, let me give it to you this. Okay, jobs, right? You're looking for jobs. Well, how do you know which is the right job? You weren't here, see? First off, if you know your Bible, then you'll know that maybe certain things that you have direction in are not going to be, they're going to be counter to the Word of God. Okay, oh, the only job opening is at the Element. Oh, but I need to, that kind of thing, you can discern some things really quickly, that, wait a second here, now this is, there's nothing wrong. And, some people would say, yeah, but I could witness at the Element. Witness outside the Element if you want to. If you want to witness, But anyways, so God leads through his Spirit, but he leads through his Word. The better you know the Word of God, you'll know very clearly, usually, if something is contrary to that. Okay? Something is contrary. So that could guide you in many, many directions, even in the special will of God. And God leads through his Word. God leads through his course. But if you're... Now, this piece... I have to tell you, listen, being an older guy, not real old, right? But being an older guy and being pastoring for many years, I've had people come up to me and tell me they have the peace of God of things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. I mean, I have. There's just no I got to tell you. And look at me as serious and as, you know, believe in all this as anything. And I go, wow, you know, that's about all I can say. You know, this is contrary to the word of God. And yet they have, oh, I got the peace of God. I've got all this. So I guess what I'm saying in this is that the peace of God is good, but you better have it backed up by the word of God, because we're in this condition. It's called humanity, and we still have the sin nature with us. And whether you've been in the Lord 10 years or 5 minutes or 50 years, we still have this sin nature, and you got to be careful of it. And so, well, I can give you an example. There's many things that my heart would like to do. Tana, if it was up to our emotional heart, we would be in Africa right now. Nothing contrary to the word of God about going to Africa. And we liked the people. We enjoyed the situation. But there was I don't have the peace and the acknowledgement that I need from the Lord. So what is a guy, okay, like me in ministry, right? What do we do when people want us to do different things? I have to wait. I never solicit a position or another place to go or anything. I don't go out there every week and tell the independent Baptists in BC, Canada, oh, I'm available this week. What do you want me to do? You know, this kind of, I don't solicit that kind of thing. I have to have the so-called leading of the Spirit come from another direction, actually, than my own carnality. See, and that's the way that I know it's from the Lord. It's not from my own desires, let's say. You know, from my own desire. It's something I need to do. And so you're looking for that leading of the Lord to be within the Word of God, but you're also looking for it to come, that it's not, you got to be careful of your own carnality. I have to, we all have to. We have to be careful of that, because it'll give you, because you want something. And so all of a sudden you find all these reasons that it's in the will of God. So be careful of that. That's all I'm doing is your spirit that's leading the peace of God, right? And the Holy does not hear it. In other words, if you don't, you do that first, the word, then the peace of God. And then in Acts 13:1-4, this is a familiar portion of Scripture as far as the leading of the Spirit. It says, that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost, separate me, Barnabas, and work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now here's a combination that as far as me, I believe it's very important, whether it was to come up to Canada or whether things, it is a pattern that I like to follow. First, there's a clear leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Spirit is leading you. He's leading you through the Word, not contrary to the Word. You're going to have to understand that the Word was not written, and people want to know, well, the Spirit spoke to them so clearly. Why doesn't he speaks through the author of this? And I believe there can be a clear leading. And people, they want to know. They want the first century, but they don't understand that the reading. Okay, why do we have the Word rather than being led by the Spirit? Like they were in the first century. What's the difference? Why do we have the Word now? That's right. It is a more sure Word. As a matter of fact, it's very... Now you got to have a milk. Okay, you don't give it in, because in verbal orders can be, people hear things differently. And I think you need to, if you've ever talked to anybody, you know this, right? Things. So you have it in your writing, and that's in writing. And when they give you orders, they give it to you, except in emergencies now. In emergencies, it's verbal, like run, duck, hide, you know, whatever. Those kind of things, right? You know, but in, for the most part, and when you're doing anything, it's in, and then they want you to follow it very precisely. And And even then, you have some difficulties, right? But I guess what I'm trying to say in this is that, you know, there was a clear leading of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have that, the Spirit of God, through the Word of God the same way. There was confirmed by fasting. So they didn't just go, okay, let's go. They were going on. And so and fasting is not, Isaiah 58 puts it pretty plain, I think. You don't fast to try to manipulate God. No, well, that's what a lot of people, you have the Old Testament, that's what they were doing. They said, well, let's get God on our side, we're going to fast, right? So really, they were trying to use fasting as a way to get God to do something. Now, but really, fasting is supposed to be that you're in a hard attitude, you're denying yourself food, you're in a place of spirituality, you're separating yourself while you're fasting, you're meditating upon the Word of God, you're praying about this so that you can hear God. So you're giving up something that we like, which is eating. Really, we like eating. And that's the purpose of fasting. And do that. They confirmed it by fasting, but then it was confirmed by the church. We read there, and when they had prayed and fasted and laid their hands on them, that's the church members. The church was assembled there. And that's what I like to get. I like to get the local church involved in major decisions in my life. And I notice that a lot of people don't do that anymore, but I do. I still like to do that. I like to get confirmation. And if you've got life-changing things, I mean, you know, like big things to go, I would tell you, bring it up as a matter of prayer in the church and let the church be involved in that. Maybe they know something that you don't, and something can be brought up, you know. You might think, oh, that's a good place. We're talking about jobs here, and you've got think, oh, that's a good, it's the job, you know, it's the job. It's the job of a lifetime, and it's going to be in this. And, oh, by the way, there's an independent Baptist church there, and I've already talked to the pastor, and he's got a, you know, place, and I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher and all this other stuff. Right, you know, everything's perfect, right? But then there might be some knowledge that you need to know. Oh, did you know that they're Calvinist, or did you know, you know, but I know that you don't, you know, that kind of information that would help you make a decision, okay? And there's a lot of things that you might get an input in through the local church, and there should be this agreement there. Now, you're still going to be led and everything, but I really believe that it's a wise thing to do. And I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't make a major decision in my life unless it was brought up into the church, and that they, and believe me, I really believe that if it's right, that the church also can get peace about it too. Everybody knows it's the right thing. I mean, if it's the same spirit, it's the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that they like it or they want it or anything like that, but they can get that peace that comes upon them. And so there's nothing wrong with that, I feel, at all. And God leads through circumstances. It's see. You have to be very careful about circumstances. Don't use it as A. Right? There's A, B, C, right? A, the word, C, B, what? The leading of the Spirit, C, circumstances. Because circumstances must not be the primary consideration, only a secondary confirmation. And even in that, you have to be very guarded, because we got many examples here. Negative circumstances do not necessarily mean it is not God's will. And that's the biggie. Because everybody, when they're going and using circumstances, they're going through the, not everybody, a lot of people, when they're going through this different thing on the will of God, well, God opened this door and I just walked through and it was so pleasant and everything was great, right? Well, it can be. But if you were Paul, what would you say? Or if you were Jesus, or if you were Peter, or if you were any of them, they got thrown in jail, mocked, and, you know, all these other things, that wouldn't fit, would it? And you got to be careful looking at the biblical example about circumstances. But he'll provide a way, and he did with each one of those circumstances. There was always, they got out of it. See, they got out of the circumstances. In other words, stoned to death, he lived. I mean, beaten, he survived, you know, that kind of thing. And he still was confirmed and did confirm the will of God. In 1 Corinthians 16, again, we Because sometimes in the will of God, there's a rough road for the saint to go through. 16:7. That's 1 Corinthians 16:7 to 9. And it says, "And I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened up to me, and there are many adversaries." So even though the door was open, right, there was a lot of adversaries, because the Jews, of course, followed him around and really gave him a lot of grief. And a lot of things happened concerning him. So you got to be careful about that. Yet I'd have to tell you, there are times that I really believe that what the direction that God wants you to go in, that he will also provide the way and the means to get there. And so you don't have to get there. In other words, give you, you know about borrowing. Okay, it's really dangerous, isn't it? Again, it's really a dangerous thing. I had different people come up to me and they said, "Well, God, did I go into ministry?" And I'm actually debt to do it. And I don't agree with that. I'll have to tell you, not according to the word of God. If God wants me to go to Africa, then I believe that God can provide the way to get me to Africa. Now, it might not be plane, it might be by slow boat, but he'll get me there. God is not a debtor to us in that, and he doesn't want us to break some wisdom rules, you know, to do this. I believe he can do these kind of things, and I hope that you can too. So be careful about these kind of things. Closed doors should not be opened and gone around. The Revelation 3:7, you can line through that. I know what the verse says. I really, the statement is true, but I don't think that's a good verse to use. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Go to Revelation 3:7. And 3:7, I'm sorry, I was thinking of another verse. "And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that holdeth, he that hath, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth that no man openeth." And he's using that reference, sorry. And open up and close the doors as he would. The illustration here is a captain in a large ship was asked if he could find a docking place at night in New York Harbor. He said, out of all the lights there is that he only looks at three. But when I can line up those three points up, arrived at the exact docking point. And I have to use it here. I used the Balfour Ferry. I don't know if you that. How many of you ever crossed it at night when he's come? And you wonder what, you know. Because he really puts, that's a pretty big, I know it's not a real fast thing. Well, it goes faster than you think. Yeah, you know, he's good and he just cruises around there and makes it real good. But out of all those lights, there is lights that he aligns on. And he knows which lights, and these are the lights. The leading of the Holy Spirit, and then you circumstances. Line up those lights and you'll have that confidence. And the reason that you need to have that confidence is that when you get out there and you're following the will of God, okay, so you're going to wherever, and you're going to be out in the bush there somewhere, eating beans all the time with, yeah, city folk. I mean, because you're way up north. Aren't you going up north? Okay. You're probably not going to see another person. And when you go out there, you know, and if you're not confident, if things are not in the line, what they will do, you'll get there, and then he's going to cast doubt in your mind. And you're going to say, oh, I don't that. You know, all these other second-guessing yourself. And that either, right? Because you need to walk by faith. You need to make sure you're going. Just because circumstances aren't following your way. So it is with God. When his word, his spirit, and circumstances all line, sure, you're on course. God's will is not so much a mystery as it is a mastery. I like that saying, actually. It is not a mystery. It's a mastery. God's will. It is not something that's, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, some kind of magical thing happens. It's right here for you. Is not future tense as much as it is present tense. So you're accomplishing God's will now. And if you're doing it now, here. And then it says you know to be his. That's a question. Does not necessarily involve change. Unconditional surrender may very well reveal his will to be doing what you are doing, doing it. Everybody's going to Zimbabwe. Not everybody's the missionary. Not everybody's, you know, not everybody's going out there to be a church planter. Well, where you are today. So for the church members, if you're following, you're using your giftedness of the Spirit of God, you're doing what God would have you to do, and you're following after that, if he wants you to go somewhere else or do something else, then you'll be in a position to hear. But for many, many people, or I would say most, what you're doing is God's will for your life. There's no other, like, you know, other thing that he would have you to do. It's okay. You don't have to be second-guessing yourself all the time. But generally speaking, the average church member or average Christian, and we could question ourselves in this, are we doing the general will of God? So if we're not doing that general will of God, then why, you know, we're not going to be able to understand his specific or surrendered will. Okay? So it's not rocket science. It's not a mystery. It's right here. And you can get led by the Spirit, and there's many, many decisions. I know that right in the church, there's many people making decisions right now. And you don't have to get all excited about it and worried about it. Line it up. Word of God, led by the Spirit, circumstances. Get the church to pray about it. And if you don't want it to be general knowledge, then get the elders of the church or friends that you have there to pray about it so that you can have other people involved in this besides you, just in case your carnality is getting ready to make a wrong decision. But if you make a wrong decision, I really don't believe that God is out there, and every wrong decision, he squishes you. Okay? Now, with wrong decisions, I have to tell you that there is sometimes some circumstances that the, you know, that you're going to have to bear through, but really, the Lord will direct you, okay? Paul, he wanted to go to Asia, right? And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to go. I want you to go find the seller of purple. But anyways, and he really went in that direction a couple times, but then the Spirit had to really, literally just change his direction, right? And so it is with us. If you're out there, the Lord will show you plainly. But get the three in alignment. Okay, now.